Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt, a podcast about electric vehicles, renewable energy, autonomous driving, and much, much more. My name is Bodhi, and I am your host, and this is another five-minute episode, which is to say that there's no way in heck that this episode's going to be 5 minutes, because we're going to get into the recent Tesla layoffs, and if you're not familiar, we're going to cover that, but I have 4 pages of notes, and I could have probably wrote another 2 or 3 pages on top of what I've already got. So I'm going to try and keep this short, but also I want to give you the details as we know them. So let's just start off the gate here. Tesla's laying off even more employees, and we've talked about how they laid off 10% of their workforce a few weeks ago. It's estimated that they might lay off as much as 20% of their workforce, and it sounds like they're eyeing, I think it's Giga Nevada, for some layoffs as well. So Tesla is getting aggressive with their layoffs. Like, they laid off their entire advertising team, and that team was not in existence for very long. It's also not super surprising, as, you know, Elon does not like advertising for whatever reason. I genuinely don't know why you would form a team and then completely annihilate it shortly after you formed it. And by now, many of you have probably heard that Tesla laid off their entire supercharger team. This news was broke by The Information. Now, I don't have a subscription to The Information, so I don't know what their article says. So I'm going to be relying on other news outlets for information. But I went through a lot of articles, and they're all pretty much saying the same thing. So let's talk about what we know, which is honestly not a lot, because Tesla does not have a PR team. There's nobody to contact if you're part of the press to get an official statement from Tesla, which sucks. These layoffs are going to affect around 500 people. Some of these employees will be reassigned to different teams. But included in the layoffs was Rebecca Tinucci, who was not only in charge of the supercharger team, but she also led the efforts to open up the NACS adapter to other automotive and charging companies. And I think that we can all agree that she did a really good job in, you know, those efforts at the bare minimum. I don't know how she did the rest of her job, but getting other auto companies, automotive companies, and charging companies to adapt this standard, she did great. I want to talk a little bit of how employees were notified of the layoffs, and it sounds like it was done by email. I'm not sure if this is true or not, because I haven't seen anything that was official that said that this is how people were notified, but it does track with how people said they were notified of layoffs a few weeks ago. According to reports, Elon also reached out to Tesla managers, and I don't know if the layoff emails were the same as the emails that Tesla sent to managers. I'm not sure about that. It sounds like it was 2 different emails from what I can tell. But in the email to managers, Elon mentioned that layoffs were necessary and needed to be absolute hardcore. So I have an excerpt of the email that Elon sent to managers, but we don't know. This is a reported email from Elon. So we don't know for sure. I don't want to be sued, although I don't think Elon cares much about my podcast since he probably doesn't know it exists. But I want to be very careful with how I word this. So here's the excerpt. Hopefully, these actions are making it clear that we need to be absolute hardcore about headcount and cost reduction. While some on exec staff are taking this seriously, most are not yet doing so. Starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, I will ask for the resignation of any executive who retains more than three people who don't obviously pass the excellent, necessary, and trustworthy test. I have been super clear about this. So I read this as you're either going to lay off people or you're going to be laid off yourself. And if you have more than three people on your team who don't pass this, what seems like a very subjective test by the manager, then you're going to get laid off. And that honestly sucks, because what if Elon thinks that these people suck, but you know them to be really good, reliable employees? Does that mean you're going to lose your job? Like, that just seems really like a subjective metric. That seems to be very, I don't know. That just seems, honestly, this whole thing seems juvenile. You know, Elon talks about being hardcore. Being hardcore doesn't mean you have to be heartless. You can still have compassion for the people who you employ. You can still have compassion for the managers who have to make these decisions, which are probably not fun ones to make, to be honest with you. Not probably, they're not fun to make. Next up, I want to talk about, just briefly, I want to mention some of the executives who have left recently. And I don't know why they have left. They have all given different reasons, but I don't know the reason in their heart, right? And I don't want to assign that reason here. So I'm just going to read this as they left. Let's not read too much into this and be fair to them and to be fair to Elon and Tesla. So first up, we have Rohan Patel, who was the head of public policy. And this position, head of public policy, is actually being dissolved. But I would imagine the head of public policy would have quite a bit of input when it comes to, you know, supercharger locations in terms of how they get set up. And again, we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. Next up, we have Drew Baglino. Drew was head of powertrain and energy engineering at Tesla. He left to spend more time with his family. We have Daniel Ho. Daniel was the leader of vehicle programs and new product initiatives. He was involved in Model 3, Model Y, and I believe Cybertruck production. So kind of an important person there at Tesla. And then we have Martin Viega, who announced last week that he was leaving the company. Martin is the VP of Investor Relations, or at least was. And then about a year ago, we had Zach Kirkhorn, who was Tesla's chief financial officer. Now, I'm sure there's been other people who have left since then. Those are the notable people that have left recently, with the exception of Zach, who left about a year ago. Oh, you know what? We do have another person to mention in terms of people who have left. Anthony Thurston was the senior manager of cathode materials and manufacturing at Tesla. It looks like Tesla laid off a pretty decent portion of that manufacturing team in Texas, and they also let go Anthony Thurston. Again, my point in giving these names of the people who have left is not so much to say, hey, look, this is a problem. It's more to say, this might be relevant later.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's move on to how this will affect the supercharger network going forward. And the honest answer there is we don't know, but we do have some information given to us by Elon and some other things that were uncovered by other news outlets. So let's start with Elon. Elon says that Tesla will continue to operate and expand the supercharger network, but at a much slower pace. And they're going to mostly focus on expanding existing supercharger sites. And Elon said this as a post on X. Like, he's not answering journalist questions, at least not up to this point anyway. Here's what he posted on X. Tesla still plans to grow the supercharger network, just at a slower pace, for new locations and more focus on 100% uptime and the expansion of existing locations. So that was his post. So I read this as they're going to continue building the supercharger network at new sites. I want to address that just for a second. It's going to be really hard when you don't have a team in place to negotiate those deals, because you got to talk to the localities. You might have, you know, different funds available from the government, whether that's the state government or the federal government. You have to negotiate deals with the local utility. You have to negotiate deals with the property owner. There's just a lot that goes into this. In fact, if you're curious about that, in September of 2023, Edwin Zhao came on the show and I discussed with him his experience working for the Tesla supercharger team. He went into great detail the steps that he and the team had to go through to build supercharger locations in and around New York City. It's a really interesting episode. I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but it's episode 423. It's really informative as to what these folks have to do in order just to build one supercharger location. And that even goes into destination chargers. He talked about that as well in some of the parking garages. Let's go ahead and get back to breaking down Elon's tweet. So we've talked about new locations. Again, go listen to Edwin's episode. It's really informative. Next, he said that he wants to focus on uptime, or Tesla wants to focus on 100% uptime. Well, that's reasonable. You don't want your sites going down. That's awful. And it doesn't sound like Tesla's getting rid of any of the people who maintain that. I don't know if they're Tesla employees or if they're independent contractors who take care of that. And then expansion of existing locations. I'm going to use an example of a local supercharger station. There's a mall not too far away from where I live, and it has, I think it's got like 10 stalls, maybe a little bit more than that. Let's say that Tesla wants to expand that location. Well, Tesla needs to make sure that, one, there's enough demand to warrant the cost of expanding this location. And I can tell you for a fact that there is, it's very rarely empty at that particular location, at least when I go. It's almost always full, or you're waiting for multiple people to have their turn before you get your turn. And everybody's really cool. Based on some of the conversations I've had at the supercharger location, a lot of these folks do Uber or some sort of economy, gig economy type driving. and they charge up in the morning before they go out and do their business. And that's important, and we'll find out why later. Next thing you have to do, if you're Tesla, is you have to make sure with the property owner, hey, is this cool? Are you okay if we take up more spots, more parking spots that could go to people who don't need to charge their EV and actually intend on going into the mall and having lunch and shopping and spending money actually at the mall instead of sitting in their car and watching Netflix? So you got to do that. So you still got to get permission from the property owner. You still have to make sure you have demand at that location. Next, we need to make sure we have enough capacity for to add more superchargers. Maybe you have enough for two more plugs, but you don't have enough to add, you know, six or seven more. So you got to talk to the local utility and negotiate with the utility how much it's going to cost to bring enough capacity in so you can install six or seven more plugs at that location or chargers at that location. Then you have to work with the local city and make sure that you are following their rules and you pull the proper permits. And even if you have enough capacity to install these chargers, so you have enough electricity to provide to all of the individual chargers at this location, you still may need to pull permits. You almost certainly will need to pull permits in any city that I've worked in or lived in, because that's one of the ways cities make their money. But they also want to make sure that you are doing things correctly. So you still need to have people who can build these relationships and who can have these conversations with these different entities. A little bit earlier, I mentioned that some of the folks I spoke with at the supercharger location next to the mall, they had jobs doing gig economy type things like driving for Uber or DoorDash or whatever. Many of these folks either live in an apartment complex or they're leasing their vehicle from, let's say, Uber, for an example, and they don't have a charger at home, so they need to go to the supercharger to, you know, get ready for the day, right? It makes total sense. Well, according to Inside EVs, Tesla has opted out of four planned supercharger sites in New York City, one in the South Bronx, one in South Brooklyn, and two in Queens. And you may be asking yourself at this point, what does this have to do with gig drivers? Well, these four sites were supposed to help overcrowding at supercharger locations in New York because of the uptick of gig drivers driving EVs and Teslas in particular. So Tesla was actually working with Uber on where the superchargers should be located. I don't know why I said that so weird. But the announcement that these sites were canceled came on the same morning as the layoffs were announced. So no coincidence there. I think we've covered that part pretty well. Let's talk a little bit about something Elon said in the earnings call last week. He said that if people don't realize that Tesla is an AI company, then they are very misinformed. He said something to that effect, right? The fact of the matter is that Tesla is a car company that is involved with AI, but they're still a car company. If they want to be an AI company, divest them, you know, divest yourself from the car side of the business and become an AI company. But you are, in fact, not an AI company. You are a car company who uses AI. And AI will probably be very important in your future. But if nobody wants to buy your cars or ride in your someday robo-taxi or pay for full self-driving because you want to put all of your eggs in the AI basket, you're not going to be a car company or an AI company for very long. I do think that existing Tesla customers, future Tesla customers, automakers who signed on to put the NACS adapter in their vehicles, I think they all have a right to be concerned. Like, it, that makes in total and complete sense. I also think investors are going to be very concerned with this news. So before I go too far down a rabbit hole, let's talk about the automakers. I would imagine that all of the automakers who have signed on to put the NACS port in their vehicles are having meetings. They might even be having meetings between different automakers to decide whether they're going to stick with the NACS port or they're going to revert back to CCS1. If I was an automaker, I would have serious concerns about this. One of the concerns is, as far as I know, they're getting these parts directly from Tesla. So if Elon has decided, whether that was a thoughtful decision or not, to get rid of the supercharger network, what's to say that he won't decide to get rid of the agreements that Tesla has with these automakers? And even if they get sued, like, Elon doesn't care about being sued. He doesn't seem to like he cares anyway. And then the other side of things is, let's say you're Rivian and your trucks are having issues at charging at a particular supercharger location. Who do you contact now? There's nobody on the team. Who do you contact to make sure that this problem gets taken care of? Like, you might be able to contact somebody from maintenance, right? But that maintenance person may or may not be able to contact somebody at Tesla to get the actual problem solved if it's a software issue. Like, who do you contact? It's just, there's a lot of questions on the automaker side. One other thing that I should bring up, actually, is that the Society of Automotive Engineers turned the NACS standard into SAE J3400, which I believe this means that this is open for other companies to use as they see fit. I don't know all the specifics on this. I don't know if, you know, Tesla holds the patent to a lot of this technology. I don't know if a patent fee has to be paid if you don't buy the products directly from Tesla. I don't know how all of this works, but it does seem to me, since it is a SAE standard, that they should be able to get parts from other companies, even though those companies may have to pay a licensing fee to Tesla. They should be able to get parts from other companies besides Tesla. I don't know this if this is true, but that is something to consider. Let's see. We will talk about investors next. It'll be interesting to see how investors react to this news. Now, I'm not talking about the Tesla fans who are going to follow whatever Elon says as gospel. Like, I follow a lot of these people on X and other sites. And, you know, up until a couple of days ago, the supercharger network was the best thing since sliced bread. And now I'm hearing people say, well, the supercharger network wasn't that important. Well, you know, a little bit of that could be because they are fanboys of Elon and they're just going to do whatever Elon says. Another piece of that is because they have a financial interest in Tesla because they're investors and they don't want to lose their money. So I would take what those folks say with a grain of salt. Not to say that it's useless. I would just, you know, there's probably a reason for them saying these kind of things. But when I say investors, I'm not really talking about those folks who are fans of the company. I'm talking about people who invest a lot of their own personal fortune or some organization's fortune into companies like Tesla, like whether they manage a hedge fund or retirement system, or maybe they're just individual investors who are very wealthy. I wonder how they're going to take this news, because they care about Tesla making a profit. And I would imagine in the short term that this will help Tesla make a profit. But I would imagine that these investors also care about the future health of the company. And many of the people who invest at this level are much more qualified than me to determine whether or not this is a good decision or bad decision on Tesla's part. So we'll keep an eye on that, especially when we get closer to Tesla's Investor Day, and see maybe if some of those people speak up and speak out, or whether they're in agreement for it. That will definitely be interesting. Another thing that I think will be interesting in terms of the investor standpoint is whether or not this will play into Elon receiving his multi-billion dollar pay package. At one time, it was worth something like $56 billion, and then it dropped down into the mid-40s. But that's a lot of money. I looked it up, and Tesla netted about $96 billion in 2023. If Elon's pay package, let's say conservatively, is worth $40 billion today, is it worth paying one person about half of what they netted in 2023? I don't have the answer to this. I'm just asking the question. Like, is Elon worth that? And the investors will have to, you know, vote on that to determine whether he is or isn't. But that's, I guess what I'm trying to say, it's going to be interesting to see how investors will view these decisions. And I've heard some people say that it's time to, for the board to fire Elon because they're not happy with this. And I don't know if these people are investors or just media people or just people piping off on X. But I just don't see that happening. And the reason why is because Elon has picked his board for X. Like, those folks are loyal to Elon. One of them is his brother. Several of them are his friends. They're not going to fire him. They're just not. And the board is so stacked in Elon's favor that it would be really hard to get anything done that Elon didn't want to have done in terms of the board approving it. So, you know, that's the investor side of things. More importantly, let's talk about the customers. I think it's totally legitimate if somebody's concerned that the supercharger network will not be maintained efficiently. And whether that's because, you know, there's a problem and there's nobody there to let the maintenance people know that there's a problem. You know, I don't know exactly how the Tesla system works on the back end when there's an issue with the superchargers. But I'm curious as to how the supercharger network is going to do when Tesla's technology falls behind. And some people are arguing that Tesla's technology is already behind because you can't charge, you know, Hyundai's 800-volt architecture on it. You can't really charge the Taycan on it and take full advantage of the speeds that the Taycan can accept in terms of charging. And even some people have said that the Cybertruck is having issues charging if it's below a certain percentage. So, you know, their own product can't effectively charge on V3 superchargers. And V2, forget about it. It's just going to be it's just going to be slower. If Elon has completely gutted the team or just completely obliterated the team that's supposed to build the new technology, what happens next? Like, eventually those supercharger locations are not going to be sought after because they're going to be old technology. Who in Tesla is going to bring us, you know, version 4, which they're currently working on, allegedly, and version 5 of the supercharger? I simply don't know. And then that even goes to, like, the mega chargers for the semi-trucks. You know, what's going to happen if those things can't be deployed? I don't know. There's just a lot of questions in terms of that. But as far as customers go, the customers care that they are paying a fair price. They care that the supercharger is up and is in a convenient location for them. And hopefully, you know, is actually charging at a decent speed, providing electricity at a decent speed. But the biggest thing, I guess what I'm trying to say here is the biggest thing is the supercharger network is a benefit to customers. And quite frankly, it helps Tesla sell cars. Because when somebody goes to, let's say, Hyundai, that's weird. If somebody goes to Hyundai and they say, hey, I want to buy a car, can you show me all the places that I can charge? And the Hyundai person pulls up all of the, you know, Blink, Electrify America, and all these other places that they could charge. And then the person does a little bit more research and says, oh, well, this one's down a lot of the time. And this one over here isn't, you know, fast enough and all that other stuff. I don't know that new EV buyers are really this organized, but let's just say they are. So we have our very organized buyer, EV buyer, and they say, you know what, I'm going to check out what Tesla has to offer, because I know how they have the supercharger network. So they go and they ask their friend, and their friend tells them all the good things about the supercharger network. Maybe they, if they're being honest, they tell them some of the negative things they've experienced. But overall, it's probably a positive interaction. That's today. A year and a half, 2 years from now, what happens? If that current Tesla owner has so many negative experiences that he can't recommend the car to his friend, that is a problem for Tesla. Like, one of the reasons why I bought a Tesla, honestly, is because of the supercharger network. That was a big reason, because I wanted to be able to take little road trips to California and whatever and not encounter down charging. Because I looked really strongly. I looked at the Ioniq 6. I looked at the Ioniq 5. I looked a little bit at the Kia EV6. I did look at the Rivian, but I couldn't afford it. But yeah, there was lots of different companies that I thought about before going with the Model Y. But in the end, I liked the software that's in my Tesla, and I wanted that supercharger network. So that was important to me. And I would imagine that's important to other people. And I would imagine that that helps Tesla sell cars. If they can't maintain that trust, I think that's going to be a problem for Tesla. All right. To this point, we've talked about a lot of things. So I just want to end on some speculation on my side. Okay. First, I'm going to say, don't assume everything is going to fall apart just because I mentioned the negative side of things earlier, and a bunch of other people are saying it's all going to fall apart. Elon does very weird things, and most of the time they seem to sort themselves out. And I don't know if they sort themselves out because Elon was right, or if somebody in the background is cleaning up Elon's mess, or Elon actually recognizes that he made a mistake and made changes. I'm sure it's a combination of all of those things. But my point is, more often than not, Elon does land on his feet. It might be a messy landing and it might be a terrifying fall, but he does seem to land on his feet. And it doesn't hurt that he has a pile of money to land on to soften the blow of those mistakes, honestly. Let's see. Okay, so here's my speculation in terms of what Tesla may be doing or what they could do in the future. Now, I don't know if they will do this. I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying this is what I can see. I can see a world where Tesla provides the EVSE DC fast charging equipment and the software, and they sell it to other companies, and those other companies deploy it and operate it on whatever sites they want to. Because, you know, Tesla's already done this with other companies. I think it was BP that they sold a bunch of superchargers to. So it's not out of the realm that Tesla's like, you know, we'll design and build them and you folks go out there and, you know, deploy them and operate them. And maybe you give us a little bit of a cut. Maybe you don't. I don't know exactly how those deals would end up working out. But all of that relies on, everything I just said, relies on Tesla not laying off the people who are in charge of designing next gen superchargers. You know, I don't know. Honestly, don't know if they laid those folks off or not. I might have said earlier, I can't remember, that they were included in the layoffs. Honestly, I don't know. We haven't heard one way or the other on that. But if those people look and see, let's say they weren't laid off, they look and see what happened to the supercharger team. Do you think someone designing superchargers wouldn't be like, you know what, I think I'm going to go work for this other company over here? You know, if somebody still worked for Tesla and they saw this happening, I think they would be foolish not to check out other opportunities, let's say. So that's something I think Tesla could do in the not too distant future, right? Just become a distributor and manufacturer of DC fast chargers. And they don't, you know, really operate their own stuff anymore. Or at least they're not going to make it any better. The other thing that I think could happen, and this is extraordinarily possible, is that these folks who worked for Tesla have a lot of domain knowledge in terms of setting up and deploying supercharger networks or DC fast charging networks. Some of these folks are going to go work for other companies. There's another certain percentage of these folks who are going to start their own companies. And, you know, I believe that there is money out there from investors, especially with the NEVI funds that are available, for these folks to go and set up new companies, whether that's, you know, helping other third-party companies deploy their DC fast charging networks, or they're setting up their own DC fast charging company. Over the next 2 or 3 years, I do think we're going to see a couple of companies founded by former members of this team. All right. I actually have more stuff. I thought this would be about a 20-minute show. Turns out it's 32 minutes. But the other stuff I have isn't that important. So I'm just going to go ahead and end this here. I will say that this is the second long show of the week. So Thursday's show will be around 5 minutes. Friday's show will be around 5 minutes. Because, yeah, this was a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. All right, everybody, if you want to email me, you can. It's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. If you like what we're doing here, you can always go to Patreon, patreon.com/kilowatt, or supportkilowatt.com. Or you can just visit the show notes, and there'll be links to how to support the show there. I want to thank everybody for being supportive of this little experiment that I'm doing right now. Quite a few people emailed in and said, hey, yeah, I love short shows. That's great. Good job. And then I made one short show and two long shows to this point. So again, Thursday and Friday shows should be pretty short. Sorry about that. All right, everybody, I'm done dragging this out. I will chat with you tomorrow.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.